Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the privilege and honor, Lord, to be in your house, in your presence, and in the presence of your love. And Father, as we are here together, Lord, we want to lift up our voice in song, as we lift up our prayers, and as we look into scriptures, Lord, we pray that in everything that we do, we bring honor to you, Father, for you and you alone are worthy of our worship, Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, and bless us now as we take this time to reflect into your words. Speak to our hearts clearly. Help us to hear and understand your words of truth. Not only understand what they say, but Lord, give us the heart's desire to put your words into action. We thank you and praise your name of Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Good to see everybody out today. And, Wednesday was an interesting day, wasn't it? We have that special weather procedure in place for a reason. And Mike and I were talking about that on Tuesday evening. Say, boy, you know, it is going to be cold. But, you know, that's what we said. And then, lo and behold, all that snow hit about 4 o'clock. Saved me a lot of stress. It just happens that way sometimes. But it's good to be able to be in God's house, worshiping together and looking out and seeing so many people who do understand what this whole theme of today's message is all about, which is about love. We're going to be looking at a model of love. If you would like to open your Bibles, we'll be reading out of John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. And church, let me share with you, the last few weeks we've had some very, very challenging and difficult situations that's happened within our church. We had some people that we love dearly who have gone on to be with the Lord. You know, the Robertson families expressed their appreciation to the church for the outpouring of love that they received. The Kennedy family as well. In fact, there were some Kennedys from Southeast Missouri, and so you guys can tell them, because I said, I will tell the church thank you on behalf of this. So this is from all the Kennedys from Southeast Missouri. They said, please tell the church how much we greatly appreciate their outpouring of love. And so I've done that because they're an incredible family as we celebrated Sister Jo's homecoming. You know, as we think about love, we know and understand what love is based on our understanding of who truly God is, because we know that in 1 John, we know the character of God is described as love. God is love. Last Sunday evening, we were discussing last Sunday's sermon, which is about bearing fruit. If you can remember, there's four distinctive components that we'll be looking at in chapter 15. One was about bearing fruit. Today we're going to be talking about love. Next week we're going to be talking about the opposite of love, about hatred, which is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So I guess that comes out pretty good. And then finally, in the last sermon we'll talk about in chapter 15, we'll be focusing on yet again the Holy Spirit and the advocate that Christ promises us. But as we were talking about that summary of our sermon on Sunday evening, we were talking about what does bearing fruit really mean? And Pat Jobe had shared one special little comment that was really a good summary of what it was all about. She just simply gave this little definition, that bearing fruit for Jesus is love in action. Love in action certainly is about bearing fruit. But how do we learn to love like Jesus? You know, what kind of model does God give to us? You see, loving Jesus is the changed nature that we receive when we become a new creation, the moment that we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This morning, we're going to explore the model of love that God gives us. God's model of love is seen in a man by the name of Ted Sallard in his life. You might say, who is Ted Stallard? But let me share with you a story I ran across. Ted Stallard undoubtedly qualifies as one of the least. Turned off by school, very sloppy in appearance, expressionless, unattractive. Even his teacher, Miss Thompson, not related to our Thompsons, by the way, Miss Thompson enjoyed bearing down her little red pen and as she placed X's beside all the many wrong answers on the papers that he would turn in. If only she had studied his records just a little more clearly. For if she had, she would have discovered these things. The notes from the first grade teacher. Ted shows promise with his work and attitude, but has a poor home situation. Second grade notes. Ted could do better. Mother seriously ill. receives little help from home. Third grade notes. Ted is a good boy, but way too serious. He is a slow learner. His mother died this year. Fourth grade. Ted is very slow and well behaved. His father shows no interest whatsoever. Well, Miss Thompson's class carried on and became Christmas time. The children all piled elaborately wrapped gifts on their teacher's desk, and well, Ted brought his in too. It was wrapped in a brown paper sack and held together with just scotch tape. Miss Thompson opened each gift as the children crowded around to watch what everyone gave her. And then out came Ted's package. It fell out like something gaudy. It was really what they referred to as a gaudy rhinestone bracelet. Half of the stones were missing. And a bottle of cheap perfume. The children began to snicker. But she silenced them by splashing some of the perfume on herself, on her wrist, and letting them smell it. And then she also put the little bracelet on, too. At day's end, after the other children had left, Ted came back by the teacher's desk and said, "Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother. And the bracelet looks awful pretty on you, too. I'm glad you really like my presents," he said. Then he left. Miss Thompson got down on her knees and asked God to forgive her and to change her attitude. The next day, the children were greeted by a reformed teacher. One commented, one who was committed to loving each one of them, especially those little slow ones, especially Ted. Surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, Ted began to show great improvement. He actually caught up with most of the students and even passed a few of them academically. Well, time came and went, and Miss Thompson heard nothing from Ted for a long, long time. Then one day, she received this note. "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know I'll be graduating second in my class. Love, Ted." 4 years later, another note came. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I was graduating first in my class. I wanted to let you know first. The university was not easy, but man, I liked it. Love, Ted." And 4 years later, "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I'm Theodore Stollard, MD. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know. I'm getting married next month, the 27th to be exact, and I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were alive. You're the only family I've known, and Dad died last year." Miss Thompson attended that wedding and sat where Ted's mother would have sat. The compassion she had shown that young man just entitled her to that privilege. Let's have some courage and start giving to one of the least. He may become a Ted Stollard. Even if that doesn't happen, we will have been faithful to the one who had always treated us, who, while we are still unworthy as we are, he still treated us like very special people. That was all written by John Johnston in his book, Courage. You know, it's very, very reminiscent of understanding one of the least of these. We can, perhaps you remember Matthew 25, and says in part in verse 37, says, "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" See, when you put your love into action, you're following the model that God has given to us. When you help someone in need, when you visit the lonely, when you sing at that nursing home, when you bake a cake for someone who needs that encouragement, when you share a special note with someone who's heartbroken, when you sit down and eat with the children on Wednesday nights that has no family here, you did for the least of these. And my friends, That's when we do it for Jesus. Who would have ever dreamt of the impact that Miss Thompson had on Dr. Stallard? Have you ever looked for a Ted Stallard in your life? Believe me, they're certainly there. And all those Ted Stallards that everyone wants to look over and let and laugh at, man, they're certainly precious to the Lord. They need to hear the truth of Jesus Christ. They need to hear Jesus in our speech and see Jesus Christ in our actions. They need to know love, the love of God in our own lives. Are you ready to bear fruit for Jesus, like we talked about last week? Are you ready to put your love in action? Love the least of these in the name of Jesus, and you will show your love for Jesus. Well, this morning, let's look at our 59th sermon in John. But let's look at John chapter 15, starting with verse 9. And if you could open your Bibles, and if you could stand to your feet as we honor the Lord in the reading of His Scripture, let us look at verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments and you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give. This is my command: love each other. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you so much for the incredible, precious word. What a command. Your command is simple: love one another. Lord, it's because of the love that God has shown us, Lord. The example of God the Father loving you and you remaining in the Father's love, and the Father remaining in you. And Father, Jesus, then you provide to us, Lord, the love of that example into our own lives. And Lord, we receive, and we accept, and we understand, and we incorporate, Lord. Help us to know what it means to remain in you and remain in your love, and help us to love. Love like God the Father has shown us to love. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we look at this passage, I want to share with you three brief points this morning as we look at this passage. The first one is this. You can follow in your bulletin if you want to fill in the blanks. I would encourage you to do that. First point is this: the Father's love. The Father's love. Let's look at verses 9 and 10 again. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love if you keep my commands. If you keep in my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. You know, as we look at this passage, we see something pretty incredible, that the Father's love, it's not just there. It is certainly a verb of action, and it's really showing us that it is an investing love. It's not just something God does. He does it, but then he invests in you and shares with you the knowledge and importance of what love is all about. The term love found in this passage, in this verse, is agapa, which essentially means to love dearly, to be well-pleased and contented. And this is the power of God's love. This is defined in Greek. It's from the root Greek verb of agapeo, love, which we often know and recognize that as an unconditional love. But it's even more than just simply unconditional love. It is godly love, which until the Holy Spirit becomes part of us, it's an impossibility to experience. So until we have the indwelling of God, we don't really fully understand and experience agapeo love. But Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. And now that we have the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, now all of a sudden this passage of Scripture begins to be enlightened to us in ways that we've never probably would have understood before Christ, because we know agape love. This love is an investing love. The Father invests in the Son who receives the love. Then Jesus invests the Father's love into us. We receive His love, and we then invest it into others. You know, on Friday we celebrated the life of Joanna Kennedy, and she loved her family, and she also loved children, even those that were not of her bloodline. She invested in her family, and she invested in the countless children throughout Russellville. Why? Because, well, she had the love of God inside of her. And when you have the love of God inside of you, you can't contain it. You have to share it. The model of the Father's love is an investing love. He shows us how. We then receive the investment, and it has a profound impact on us. We must take that love investment given to us by God and then invest it in others. Let me ask you this. Who are you investing God's love into today? Jesus received the Father's love, and then He, in return, invested that love into His disciples. You know, in the children's message, I thought Celeste made an excellent point. You see, we have something incredible. We have something super. It's not designed to keep it to ourselves. We have got to stay in training, and we have to begin to share that and work hard to advance the kingdom's message. The Father's love's investment requires something of us, though. It does require obedience. Jesus shares that throughout that passage. Jesus reveals to us that accepting God's love, it will change us. It changes us because it will reveal God and His word and His commandments. We are to receive His commandments in love and put them into practice. The Father's love investment requires our obedience. Love and obedience goes together for God. It requires not just obedience, but continual obedience. We can't be obedient to God's commands only when we want to. We can't be obedient to God's commands only when it's convenient. We can't be obedient only when it just strikes our fancy. We must be obedient to God's commands continuously, so that we remain in right relationship. Right relationship, right mindset, and right commitment to Him. A deep love that is pleasing. Remember that root word that we read about in agape? When we remain obedient to God's command, we remain in His love relationship. To be obedient to His commands, we must know His commands. To know His commands, we must read them and we must study them. To be obedient to His commands and to remain in His love, not only do we need to know what they say, but we need to do them and put them into practice. That's the love of obedience. The Father's love is an investing love and an obedient love. God has invested in you and me. And if we have chosen His love, then who is it that you're investing in today? That leads us to our second important point. Love is a joy. Verses 11 and 12 of our focal passage shares this. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. We have often heard that joy is based on a relationship, not circumstances, and that's certainly true. But I think that truth goes far deeper. It's not simply a relationship. Our joy is based on a love relationship with Jesus, a continual love relationship with Jesus. Jesus remains in us, and Jesus remains faithful. Jesus remains in a committed love to the Father and in a committed love to us. This passage helps us to recognize that Jesus is joyful. Jesus shares a secret of His joy. Jesus' joy is based on Him remaining in the Father and the Father in Him. Jesus knows that this all-powerful joy, it really works. And if it works, Jesus wants us to have that same joy. Just as the Father is invested in Jesus, Jesus invests into us in the same way. To experience the complete joy that God desires, we must remain in Jesus. And we know that he will always remain in us. And we must love God, Jesus, and love each other. Friends, let me ask you this. How is your joy? How is your joy? When people describe you, do they describe you as a person of joy? Every Christian should have a joy based on that relationship, that continual love relationship with Christ. You see, Jesus is not content with you having just a little bit of joy, or a joy that turns off and on like a light switch. That's not going to make him content. He wants us to have a joy that's fully complete. A joy based on remaining in him and remaining in his love and loving him and others. When we have that complete joy that Jesus desires for us, whenever difficult times come, and they'll certainly come, when heartaches come, and they certainly will come, when financial issues and academic issues and relationship issues come, we won't lose our joy because our joy is not based on anything other than a complete package found in remaining in Jesus' love. It's not based on the circumstances. We will remain connected. We will remain in God's love. Joy is made complete by remaining in his love and by loving God and loving others. Joy is made complete when we love each other as Jesus Christ loved us. If you're not loving others the way Jesus loves you, you're going to struggle with receiving the complete joy that Jesus desires for you. You realize that? Yeah, if there's a problem with the joy of your life, you may need to look and analyze the relationship you have with him, because he says, remain in me, remain in my love, and I will remain in you. Friends, is your joy complete? If you're struggling with the complete joy that Jesus wants you to have, then you need to recognize that that comes through salvation in Jesus. Not through all the promises of the world, but only through a personal relationship. We have to receive his love and then love others like Jesus loves you. If you're not loving like Jesus, you'll never have complete joy. Do you know people, even professing Christians, that struggle with living a life of joy? If you remain in Jesus and love him and others, you'll know joy, friends. And your love and joy will grow. And this is a secret that Jesus now reveals to us. That joy and love will continue to grow the more you give it away. If you're giving the love that God gives to you and the joy that he gives to you, if you're giving it to others, it almost becomes contagious. But our joy is not based on the circumstances and situations of this world. It's based on that continual love relationship with Jesus. So we think about this model of love. There's another third important point that we need to recognize. Love is sacrificial. Verses 13 through 15 says this, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Isn't that a beautiful, important reminder of what life is all about? Going back to Pat's powerful theological teaching, love is action. Love does not sit back and do nothing. It's something that Miss Thompson discovered with Dr. Stollard. See, love does not sit back. Love cares. Love comforts. Love compels us into action. And friends, when you care for others, when you comfort others, when you reach out and share your help and encouragement, when you often have to give up something that's important to do it, when we love like Jesus loves, we do have to sacrifice. Sometimes we sacrifice our time. Sometimes we sacrifice our money. Sometimes we sacrifice our family and its family time. We sacrifice resources. We sacrifice our desire for God's desires and the desires of others. They're more important than us. Jesus said that there's no greater love than this, that we lay down our life for our friends. We know that what Jesus was about to do, as we shared with you, this is that discourse that was taking place after the Passover meal that had been experienced. And so Jesus was on his road to the cross here. And as he knew that, as he was sharing these words of encouragement and commands to his disciples, he knew that he was soon going to be placed on that cross. He knew he was going to soon die for the sins of all mankind. He knew all of that. And so he shared this. No greater love than this, that we lay down our life for our friends. He was ready to model the greater love. Jesus is not necessarily saying that we will be called to give up our life, although, my friends, we could be. He's just saying that we must be willing to sacrifice and be his friend. A friend of Jesus is one that does what he commands. So, are you a friend of Jesus? Are you willing to sacrifice to love others like Jesus loves us? Are you willing to do that? If the greater love is to die for a friend, then another great love, right below that, that dying thing, is to live for a friend. Are you willing to live for your friends? Dying we do once. But living for someone is something we have to sacrifice every day to do. Jesus did not stay dead. He was buried. He rose from the grave. We not only serve a risen Savior, we serve a living Savior that lives for us. Every day the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for our sins is evident in our life. His love compelled him into action. His love was fully sacrificial. He died for us. And now he lives for us. Are we living for him? Friends love. Friends love for God, and they love others. But are we willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice for him? As his friends, Jesus simply wants us to follow his commands. Following the commands of Jesus will require us to sacrifice. For some reason, in today's society, we think as Christians that, well, we'll do whatever we're comfortable with, but if I go outside my comfort zone, I don't need to step out any further. Expect me to have to sacrifice to do that or that situation or to go on that mission trip or to support that ministry or to do whatever. Well, I will tell you this. Simply, God expects that. He expects love to be sacrificial. He expects you to step out of comfort zones. He expects you to do what Jesus has showed us to do, what God the Father has shown us. It will require us to give up our selfish desires and to adjust ourselves to God. It will require us to know his commands, to follow his commands, and to share his truth and to be his witnesses wherever we go, every day. Are you willing to love Jesus? Are you willing to sacrifice for him? Are you willing to sacrifice for others? Jesus died and rose back to life for his friends. So my friend, let me ask you this. Are you his friend? Are you a friend of Jesus Christ? I'm going to ask right now if you'll stand with me as everyone bows their heads and close their eyes, no one looking around. Let me talk to you as the musicians come and they'll be playing softly. You see, my friends, God has given us a model for love. Do you know the Father's love? The Father loves and invests in Jesus Christ. Jesus loves and invests into his disciples. We then accept his love and we begin to love others and invest in the kingdom. But friends, you cannot invest the godly love into others until you personally have accepted God's love. Accepting God's love included repenting or turning from sin and turning to Christ. It's accepting Jesus as God's Son who died on the cross for our sins and was buried and rose from the grave. It's about accepting him and him alone as the Lord of your life. When we do that, then we can love others with the godly love that he has given to us. If you've never accepted that love, I want to invite you to come to accept it. When we receive God's love, it is a joy. Do you know the joy of God's love? Joy, God's joy remains constant in good times, in challenging times, and in bad times. Don't let circumstances steal God's joy from you. If you want God's joy, then come and live in His love. Living in God's love is receiving it and investing it by loving others. Love and joy grows by giving it away. If you're struggling with loving others, then come to God today and seek His solution. God's love is a sacrificial love. Loving Jesus means that we have to love like Him, and that requires sacrifice. Jesus died for His friends, but now we recognize that Jesus lives for His friends. Are you a friend of Jesus? I'm going to have a word of prayer. Perhaps this morning you need to make a decision. Perhaps there's some things that you need to clarify in your own heart between you and the Lord, and you're welcome to do that. Perhaps today you want to accept Him by sharing a special prayer to invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. If you want to do that today, come down and I'll pray with you. But if you have a burden on your heart today, whether that's finding the love of God, whether that's sharing the love of God, whether that's finding the joy that God wants in your life, you're welcome to pray at the altar. Pray where you are. But don't leave here today with any burden on your heart, because God wants you to know that He loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to know His love. He wants you to abide in His joy. Wants you to be willing to sacrifice so that others can hear the truths of Jesus too. Father, we thank You and praise You for who You are, for what You mean to us, Lord, and thank You for the truth of Your word that tells us about Your love. Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life and to accept the promise and hope of salvation through Jesus, Lord, help us to step forward. Lord, if there's any other burdens here today, help us, Lord, to respond to that as well. Father, if there's anyone here who wants to unite with this church to be following believers' baptism or whatever desire that's on their heart, Lord, give us the courage to step forward right now. We thank You and praise You. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. I'm going to sing page number
552.
If you need to make a decision, I want to invite you to come right now as we sing this song.
Be seated for just a minute.
First off, have a note of appreciation from Miss Rose. It says, "Dear church family, thank you so much for the many acts of kindness you have shown me and my family from the time Doug was diagnosed with cancer until his passing. Thanks for all the beautiful cards. Thanks for all of the delicious food that was brought to the house and to the church, an abundant amount. Thanks to everyone who helped prepare and serve the dinner for our families. They all thought it was wonderful. Thanks to Brother Alan and Paula and all of my church family for always being there for me, especially for your prayers. God bless you. I love you. Rosemary Robertson." All right, and just a few things to announce here this morning. Tomorrow night, men's Bible study at 6:45 here at church. Wednesday night, I think the weather sounds good this week, so Wednesday night we'll be here for supper and activities. Starts at supper at 5:30 and activities at 6:30. The California Democrat is needing someone to write the church news for their weekly publication. So if you have any talent in writing, and that's not me, so it ain't happening here. But or if you want to have some interest in doing that, it's just a brief synopsis of the week's ministries here. They're looking for somebody to do that, and my understanding is they haven't found anybody, so if nobody steps up soon, probably just going to let it go. So anyway, thinking about that. Tonight at 5 o'clock, Super Bowl party at our house. If you need a ride, meet here at 5 at the church, and Alex will bring you out. The web page has been updated and now includes the ability to give online. If you show up to church, you ever done that, show up here and there's an offering and you forgot your checkbook, you don't have any cash. Pointed out one time in deacons meeting years ago, y'all know the guys that don't have cash, they've got teenage kids. Yeah, so it happens, but now if that takes place, you can go online, go to the website and give online giving. I have not actually done it, but I've went there and played with it. I think I could get through it, so it's not that hard. So anyway, and lastly is the Remind app. If you want to get texts on your phone for events that go on, when they send out reminders, you can give those by doing the instructions on the screen. If you need help with that, just see Paula. Anybody have anything else that I've missed? Sandy. Pair of glasses have been turned into the office. If you're having trouble seeing this morning, maybe you lost your glasses. I have trouble seeing, but I just don't bring mine with me. So, anything else? All righty, let's stand, and Brother Calvin, would you dismiss us, please?